my lord. There are so many uncharted settlements. It could be smugglers, it could
be... That is the system. And I'm sure Skywalker is with them. Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that cost 7 whoop yoopie. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Mike Blue Snaggletooth Vargo.
I'm going to use the Force to make your Star Wars trivia memory go blank. Blank.
Simone, the Deveronian Shavur.
I'm going to beat the competition so hard, they're going to be jizz-wailing all the way home to their mamas.
And Andy the Hutt Leonard.
Jabba had no legs. Imagine how I can crush you with them.
Hello to all, and happy week of May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you, the time when fans of Star Wars like to have a nice day being fans of Star Wars. That certainly applies to us here at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, and it certainly applies to our three players today. So we've got a special quiz for this week all about the ins and outs of the world of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Here today to keep the ledger of just how many Republic Day Terries our players are racking up is our scoremaster, Dan Cantobite Casino.
Oh, Taylor, I'm so glad we're finally doing a Star Wars-themed episode. It's such an important part of pop culture. It's so ubiquitous. And back in the day, my local sushi place even did a Jar Jar-themed starter.
What was the name of this starter, Dan?
Oh, it was miso soup.
Boo.
Yeah. Well, we asked Dan for the answer to this before the show, and he was so excited he wanted to save it for the show, and here we are.
And also here today is the true astromech droid of this whole operation, keeping our beeps and boops and proper navigation in line. It's production master Dave.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
You know what? Fair assessment. Thank you. Now, there's no Wookiees that we have to let win today, so let's get into the competition with our first game, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the Star Wars galaxy, but we choose the battle that those champions are fighting. Music and Star Wars obsessive Mike Vargo, who is your champion today?
My champion is the co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon during the second Death Star run, Ninum.
Host of the Black Mass Appeal podcast, Simone Shavur. Who have you got for your champion?
I've got Power Droid Gonk.
And number one purveyor of the Star Wars technical commentaries, Andy Leonard. Who is your champion today?
From the extended universe and recently recanonized Grand Admiral Thrawn.
All right. Three very different but very exciting champions locked in today. Production Master Dave is going to be our judge today, so let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion would best explain the Force to Broom Boy? Mike, why is Ninum going to be the best at explaining the Force to Broom Boy?
First, he was, at that point in the Star Wars universe, was still alive. And back on the Millennium Falcon, he's versatile and resilient, being, as far as I can tell, still alive by the end of the Skywalker saga. I believe he knows more than the one language he seems to laugh through, and hopefully that will translate to the younger children. But he is very positive, and he has a very contagious laugh that I think would be very, very receptive for the kids. So I believe that's why Ninum will be the obvious choice.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Simone, why is the power droid Gonk going to give the best explanation of the Force?
Okay, so you see Gonk, and he's a very unassuming, you know, humble, short little droid. So I think it could be, you know, quite relatable to a small child, not too scary, not too big. He also communicates just with the word Gonk. So that might, you know, be able to translate into different languages. It could just be the emphasis, if it's on the guh or the onk, you know, to help convey the meaning to the child. But also, most importantly, is that Gonk may be the leader of a secret cult inside of the Star Wars universe. And so, I mean, fan theory, But if that's true, it means he's quite persuasive. And so you think he'd be able to like kind of talk the broom boy into, you know, learning more about the Force.
Thank you, Simone. And Andy, why is Grand Admiral Thrawn going to give the best Force explanation to Broom Boy?
Grand Admiral Thrawn, when he took over the Empire 5 years after Return of the Jedi, discovered many things about the Force, including animals that can negate it and how to create clones with it. So right there, he already knows more than almost everyone. Being a Grand Admiral, he's a very busy man. I'm sure he could delegate one of his many captains and other people to it. But because of him, they know so much more about the Force than he would have before.
All right. Concise argument from Andy. Ultimately, though, it's up to production master Dave to determine today's winner.
All right. Well, I'm going to take Mr. Numb off the table because I didn't really hear an argument about why he would be explaining the Force to him, just that he talked a little funny and he was a fun guy. Spoiler, I don't mean to upset you. He does die at the very end of the Skywalker saga, according to canon accounts. Rest in peace, Mr. Numb. Power Droid is one of my favorite characters in the saga, period. I have a Power Droid action figure 2 feet away from when I was 5 and got it. It's one of my most treasured possessions to this day. That said, I don't understand how anybody can explain the Force to Broom Boy by just saying gonk. I'm pretty sure g or onk is going to help a boy who speaks basic about the Force. So by default, we're going with Grand Admiral Thrawn. But even if it wasn't by default, that is one sophisticated Star Wars character that understands culture, that understands how to attack something, how to analyze something that he doesn't understand. So he's going to get into the culture. He's going to figure out the Force from the inside out and explain it to Broom Boy. So our winner today, Andy and Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Woohoo.
All right, Andy, you have won my champion, which means you get a chance to answer the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you'll have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is the half point question. Speaking about the Force, which character was the first to say, "May the Force be with you" in Star Wars?
That exact phrasing? Han Solo?
No, Mike knows this one, maybe?
Is it General Dodonna?
Yes, before sending the rebel pilots to the hangar for the Battle of Yavin, Dodonna beats Han Solo to it. Of course, in the AFI version, they always, on the list, they always credit Han Solo with the quote, but Dodonna was first.
I want to go back to Ninum. At the time Broom Boy was around, he was alive.
That's not what you said, though. That's not what
I said at the end of The Last Jedi.
No, you said the end of the Skywalker saga.
Oh, okay. Well, Broom Boy was alive when he could explain.
Well, it doesn't help me now. No, does it?
I know.
Well, Andy, you may have missed the half point, but you still get to go first in round one, the Zillow Beast. The galaxy is a big place. Whether you're looking for the comfort of the galactic core or the solitude of the Outer Rim, there's a home for you. In this game, we'll read you a real estate listing from the world of Star Wars, and you tell us which planet or moon the listing is for. For example, if we read the listing, "Limitless forest adventure awaits you among the redwood giants of the Sanctuary Moon. Live simply in your new Tree Village two-bedroom unit with the cutest Nay Bears ever," you'd know that listing was for
Endor.
Endor, or the forest moon of Endor if you're nasty. And that answer would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, we'll give you the name of a potential neighbor, after which point the answer is only worth 5. We'll start off round one with Andy. A multi-room sunken family quarters with spacious kitchen and attached garage on large lot on the Great Chott Salt Flat comes with 63 evaporators for all your moisture needs.
That would be the moisture farming on Tatooine.
Correct for 10 points. Next to Simone. A lush lakeside mansion with waterfall vistas and expansive meadows for all your romantic escapades. Galaxy renowned for its big fish and its bigger fish.
That would be Naboo.
For another 10. Over to Mike. A cozy remote studio retreat with low headroom. Local activities include unique spelunking opportunity. Dehumidifier not included.
Hint, please.
A potential neighbor could be a spooky version of yourself.
Pass.
In this case, we're talking about the planet Dagobah, with spelunking going into that cave to see that spooky version of yourself. Next up to Andy. Looking to move on up? Trade in that tired level 1313 hovel for a taste of the good life up on 104. Minutes from Coco Town and closer to the Jedi Temple than you ever thought possible.
I believe that also created by Timothy Zahn along with Grand Admiral Thrawn, this is Coruscant, the capital of the Republic.
Absolutely, for another 10. Back to Simone. Attention, sunbirds. This is the perfect destination for you. Get away from the heat of the summer at Echo Base.
Thanks to the opening clip, I had a little bit of a hint. That's going to be Hoth.
Set your course for the Hoth system.
Textbook correct answer. 10 to Simone. Back over to Mike. Surf's up forever. New units just opened up in Topoka City, and we've got nothing but ocean view for you to choose from. Ask about our deluxe Me, Myself, and I package.
I believe that is the planet Kamino?
As seen in Attack of the Clones, yes. Back to Andy. Bug infested? We certainly hope so. A beautiful 120-bedroom Red Rock structure for you and your brood. Conveniently located near the Battle Droid Factory and major flight lanes for a short commute.
Is this Geonosis?
Yes, also heavily featured in Attack of the Clones. Over to Simone. You'll be anything but salty about your choice to take over this roomy former base of operations. You'll fall in love with its feature door, but solicitors will absolutely hate it.
Okay, I have a picture in my mind, but I'm gonna need the hint.
Your neighbors might include glittery vulptices.
Okay, I could draw you a picture, but I realize that in a podcast is an audio medium, that's not very helpful. So I'm gonna go ahead and pass.
From the finale of Star Wars The Last Jedi, that is the salt planet Crate. Next to Mike. You truly belong up here among the clouds. Luxury condos with 360 views are complemented by our full-service self-storage system.
Cloud City is my answer.
Keep in mind the answer is planets.
I only know it as Cloud City.
Andy, what planet does Cloud City hover above?
It is not in the Lando system, but it is Bespin.
Yes, the gas planet of Bespin. And that'll take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Our player's doing very well so far. Andy's in the lead with 30 points. He is perfect so far. Simone's got 20. Michael is trailing. He's got 10 points.
All right, still very close in round one. Next question is for Andy. Get away from it all. Timeless stone huts are move-in ready and are maintained 24/7 by local experts. Free seafood and milk are yours for the taking. No elevators, 60-story walk-up.
I think this is what Mike was going for, and I think it's like Octo, something along those lines.
We'll take it. I believe official pronunciation is Octo, because it sounds like Act 2, which is where Last Jedi is like Act 2 of that trilogy, I believe is the pun there. Next up to Simone. Live in safety high above the forest floor in your 3-bedroom treehouse, away from jaw plants and Trandoshans alike.
Now, we've already talked about one forest moon. Thinking another foresty planet. Is this Kashyyyk?
Yes, the Wookiee homeworld of Kashyyyk. And Trandoshans, the famous Wookiee hunters, given the Wookiee's trouble on Kashyyyk. Next to Mike. A perfect starter unit for you and your fellow street urchins. Comfy shared accommodations under the hustle and bustle of the Coronet shipyards. Oversight provided by the White Worms.
Is it? Well, I'll go with the answer, Corellia.
Home planet of Han Solo, seen at the beginning of Solo, a Star Wars story. That is Corellia. Last Star Wars real estate listing for each player. This one is for Andy. Price to sell. Modern glass interiors, modern glass exteriors, modern glass everything. Jetpack your kids to the local glass school or throw a barbecue in your glass backyard inside a gated No Jedi neighborhood.
I have no idea. Glass. Mandalore. Oh!
Without even taking the hint, he gets it. The Mandalorian homeworld of Mandalore. Next to Simone. A rare pilgrim moon flat new on market. Whether you're a guardian of the wills looking for a nice spot to crash after a hard day of protecting the Kyber Temple, or looking to get back on track after being decraniated, you must see this new Mesa Top slice of heaven.
Yet another one where I could just paint you a picture with beautiful pastels and oil paints, but I'm going to need the hint.
One of your neighbors on this planet might be Saw Gerrera.
Okay, I promise to do a sketch for everyone who's listening, but until then, I'm going to have to pass.
We'll hold you to that.
This is the planet Jeddah, as seen in Rogue One, where they find Forrest Whitaker's Saw Gerrera. Next over to Mike. Attention lava lovers. We got lava, lots of it. Lava everywhere. Low prices for the high ground, located nowhere near that spooky fortress.
Mustafar. My answer is Mustafar. Oh, just came to me.
Absolutely. From the big climax of Revenge of the Sith, that is the volcanic planet of Mustafar. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, a score update from Dan, and on to round two. Hey, listeners. Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? No? I thought not. It's not a story most of our listeners know. You know what else not enough of our listeners know about? Our bonus content over on Patreon. This week, we are keeping the Star Wars content rolling forward with a bonus game called To Whom Star Wars Edition. We all know the iconic quotes from the Star Wars saga, and we all know which characters said them. But can you identify to whom those iconic Star Wars quotes were spoken? Find out this Friday in the empty studio by joining us at usaquizshow.com/membership for that game and dozens of past empty studio games, plus access to our monthly game shelf decathlons. Once again, that's usaquizshow.com/membership, and hope to see you there.
Going to round two, it's time for the Chef Gourmanda score break. Just a bit of stirring, whipping, beating, and tasting, and you have yourself a masterpiece. Right now, Andy's in the lead with 50 points. Simone and Mike are tied with 30, but that means that Mike will get to go first in round two.
It also means that Mike and Simone get a chance to make up some ground on Andy with the Threequalizer. I'm going to ask a question that has three possible answers. Mike and Simone get to collaborate on finding those three answers, and 10 points split between each of them for each correct answer they can provide. Here is your Threequalizer question. Name the locations that the iconic Wilhelm scream is first used in each of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Okay, Mike, I am thinking, so the first one is on the Death Star because that's a stormtrooper who does the scream. The other one, I'm pretty sure, is on Endor with perhaps another stormtrooper meeting an untimely end. But I'm not sure about that third one. What do you got for me?
If there's one from each movie, I thought there was a Wilhelm scream with one of the stormtroopers in the frozen Han Solo scene, but I'm not certain.
Okay, so how good do you feel about the Death Star? You want to go with that one?
Yeah.
Okay, our first answer is Death Star.
Yep, that's the Death Star, a stormtrooper who shot on the bridge chasm that Luke and Leia swing across.
Okay, cool. We got that one. How are we feeling about Endor?
It definitely happens on Endor at some point.
Endor.
So get one more guess. Okay.
I think I'm going to rethink The Empire Strikes Back, and I think it's during the Hoth battle scene, so...
Totally down. Yeah, let's go with it.
Let's go with Hoth.
Hoth is correct. A rebel soldier gives that Wilhelm scream after a turret explosion. In the case of Return of the Jedi, the first Wilhelm scream in that movie is at the Sarlacc, with a Weequay who gets lightsabered into the pit. But still, 10 points to each of you for that Threequalizer. Now that's going to go into round two, entitled Darth Foley. What would Star Wars be without the iconic scream of the TIE fighter or the hum of its lightsabers? In this game, we'll test your knowledge of Star Wars sound effects with short clips from live-action movies and TV shows. For example, if we played you this clip, you'd know that the character you heard there was
BB-8.
BB-8, absolutely. Now, each player's turn will consist of three different clips that share a common trait. 10 points for each clip you can identify correctly. We're going to start it off with Mike. Mike, keeping on with droids, one by one, identify which droid you hear in each of these three clips, starting with this one.
Well, I think he's under two separate names. It's either, I'm going to go with how the figure was named, the power droid.
Yes, Simone's champion, 10 points for power droid, a.k.a. Gonk. Still for Mike.
I know it's on the Jabba Sandcrawler. I'm going to go with the Death Star droid.
Need a little more specific. We're talking the mouse droid, otherwise known as the MSC series maintenance droid, who you do see on the Death Star. And the last droid clip for Mike.
I believe that is the probe droid that tortures Leia on the Death Star. I don't know the exact name.
It is the Viper probe droid, or the probot that is scanning the surface of Hoth in Empire Strikes Back. Our next set of clips is for Simone. They are all languages spoken on Tatooine. So name the language from each clip. Here is your first one.
That is the language of the Jawas.
We will take it, Jawaese. Next Tatooine language clip.
Okay, so that was Tuskenese, the language of the Sand People?
Just Tusken, but we will take it. And your last Tatooine language clip.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and be as specific as I can. That is the mechanical eyeball at Jabba's palace when people are trying to enter from the outside.
Need a name on the language.
The language of the mechanical eyeball? I'll take a swing at Gamorrean.
Andy?
Is it Huttese?
Yes, representing his boss, he's speaking Huttese. Duh. All right, the next set of clips for Andy is going to be vehicles. Name the vehicle in each clip, starting with this one.
That is the speeder bike, Sun Endor.
That's good for 10. Here's your next vehicle clip.
The best I can come up with is the train from Solo.
In this case, this is going to be the sound of pod racers at the Boon to Eve on Tatooine. Here is your last vehicle clip.
Is that the train from Solo?
Now, in this particular case, it's the wheel bike, a.k.a. the TSMEU-6 wheel bike that General Grievous rides around on the Utapau system. Let's kick it back to Mike. Mike, we're going to be talking lightsabers. You name the lightsaber or the lightsaber's owner for each of these clips. Here is your first one.
Do it one more time since it was so quick. First thought that came to mind, that is Darth Vader's lightsaber. So that's what I'll go with.
On this case, this is going to be Luke Skywalker's green lightsaber that he wields in Return of the Jedi. Here's your next lightsaber clip.
I want to say, and I will say, that is Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
Little unhinged, not fully contained. Yes, Kylo Ren. And your last lightsaber clip.
Shot in the dark here, Count Dooku's lightsaber.
You're so close in your shot in the dark.
In this case, a shot in the dark. It could be a shot in the dark saber. That is the Mandalorian darksaber, as heard on season 2 of The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett.
Taylor, I know it's not time for a score break right now, but I just want to report that everyone is all tied up. Everybody got 60 points.
You mean 60 portions. Sorry.
Nothing to apologize for.
All right, next over to Simone. We're talking about things that are out of order. So things that are broken down. Here is your first clip.
Well, that is the Millennium Falcon crapping out.
Yes, the hyperdrive malfunction. Next clip for Simone.
Okay, I know it's someone is trying to fix something and then it explodes. I'm trying to think who does a lot of fixing with sparks and such. I cannot remember the actual item that is broken, but I feel like this is something that R2 is trying to fix.
In this case, this is going to be the astro droid R5-D4, who almost gets sold to the Lars family, but then, depending on who you talk to, potentially self-sabotages so R2 can get where he needs to go. And your final out-of-order Star Wars clip.
Okay, so that, I believe, is Obi-Wan on the Death Star turning off the shields?
You're 99% of the way there. It's Obi-Wan
the shields
and
the tractor
Death Star
beam.
Turning off the tractor beam, yes.
Darn it.
All right, next up is to Andy. We're going to be talking Beasts of Burden. So name the Beast of Burden from each of these clips, starting with this one.
Is that a tauntaun?
Correct for 10. Here's your next Beast of Burden clip.
I have no idea, but I know this is a thing, so Dubac.
You got the right planet. This is a Bantha. And your final Beast of Burden clip.
I have no idea what they were called, but I believe that they were in episode 2. Obi-Wan rode one. It went up cliffs. He met Grievous, but I have absolutely no idea what they're called.
In episode 3 on the Utapau system, Obi-Wan rides a Varactyl, specifically one named Boga, when he meets General Grievous. All right, let's hear our next score update from Score Master Dan.
Boy, Taylor, this game is real tight. Andy and Simone are tied at 70. Mike is close behind. He's got 60 points.
All right, next up for Mike, we're moving from Beasts of Burden to Big Beasts. So we're looking for big, big Star Wars creatures. Here is your first clip.
just trying to identify it by maybe the echoing in the background or the no echo in the background. I'm going to guess Rancor.
Great guess. 10 points. Wow. Here's your next large beast clip.
I want to say that's a bantha.
Now, in this case, Mike, this is actually the canonical sound of the crate dragon, in that it is both Obi-Wan imitating the crate dragon from Star Wars and the sound they repurposed for its actual appearance in The Mandalorian Season 2. The crate dragon, your answer there. And now, your final Big Beast clip.
I think it's one of the animals in the Geonosis, but I don't know the name of it, so.
In this case, it's going to be the knobby white ice spiders, otherwise known as Krikna, that Mando and Grogu face in Season 2, Episode 2 of The Mandalorian on that snowy ice spider planet. Next set of clips is for Simone. We're talking powerful weapons. Name the powerful weapon in each clip, starting with this one.
Okay, I'm gonna say that's the Death Star.
Correct for 10. Here's your next powerful weapon.
Can I hear that one more time? I am picturing it. It's the Death Star successor. His name is just completely gone from my head. I'm going to have to pass.
Andy knows this one.
Is it those really cool sonic mines from Episode 2?
Seismic charges, seismic bombs, yes, that come off of Boba and Jango Fett's ship in Attack of the Clones. And the last powerful weapon clip for Simone.
Is that the proton cannon from the rubble base in Hoth? The cannon? The
ion cannon from the rebel base on Hoth. So, so
close. I keep saying too many words and talking myself out of getting the right answer. Should have just said cannon.
I think I would have wanted ion cannon, that one. It's a pretty iconic thing.
Also, Simone, everything we're doing today is canon. We're not allowing any legends in here at all.
You could have had that or miso soup. You can't have both. Yeah. All right, our final set of clips is for Andy, and they all come from the Battle of Somewhere. So it's the Battle of Blank. Fill in the blank for each of these clips.
I can picture it. Is it Endor?
In this case, this comes from the Battle of Yavin during the Death Star Trench Run. Here's your next Battle of Blank clip.
Is that Naboo?
Yes, the Gungans out on the battlefield in the Battle of Naboo. And our final Battle of clip.
Oh, I have no idea. Let's say Millennium Falcon escaping from Hoth, but I have no idea.
You can really just hear that lightning striking and triggering photosensitive viewers in the Battle of Exegol at the end of The Rise of Skywalker.
I'm happy I missed that. honestly.
Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to our final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by next week's episode, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
We promise this is not R-rated, nor the product of anything baited. It comes from Bith's playing the clue when the Nalargon tickled light and true.
Think you know the answer? Then come on over to usaquizshow.com/riddle and submit that knowledge and win that prize. While you're at our website, maybe fill out an application to compete on a future season of our show, or head to usaquizshow.com/dreamteam to make a suggestion of other podcasters you'd like to see compete on our show. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Absolutely. Going to round three, it's time for the Invisible Hand score break. Sure, it aligns the interests of buyers and sellers to make the free market function, but more importantly, it ferries General Grievous around. Right now, we have a very close game. Andy and Simone are tied for lead with 80 points each. Mike has 70, but that means he'll have to go first in round three.
All right, anything can still happen in the Force Lightning Round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points to you for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Restore Freedom to the Galaxy, Settle the Conflict, Clue to Luke's Whereabouts, and They Don't Crawl. Now, these topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best of, or maybe keep something easy away from one of your fellow competitors. Mike, in third place, you get first pick at a lightning round category. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Restore Freedom to the Galaxy, Settle the Conflict, Clue to Luke's Whereabouts, and They Don't Crawl.
I'm going to go with Restore Freedom to the Galaxy.
You got a guess as to what's going on here?
I hope something positive. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, hopefully you can find some good vibes in this lightning round. In this case, Restore Freedom to the Galaxy is the end of the crawl in the movie Star Wars. So we're going to be talking lightning round grab bag trivia about the original trilogy of Star Wars. 90 seconds on the clock. Mike, are you ready?
Let's go.
Chewie is charged with removing one of these creatures that might be chewing on the Falcon's power cables.
Minok.
Both Al Pacino and Burt Reynolds turned down playing this major character.
Han Solo.
The Sarlacc that Boba Fett fell into lived in this pit.
Pass.
His disco version of the Star Wars theme hit number one on Billboard.
Miko?
He directed Return of the Jedi.
Marquand. Richard Marquand.
Ithorians like Momau Nadon are often called this by the galactic population and Kenner alike.
Pass.
He is the chief of the Ewok Brighttree tribe.
Chirpa?
Low Gray. According to the bartender, these are not welcome at Chalmun Spaceport Cantina.
Droids.
This is the name of Darth Vader's Super Star Destroyer.
Executor?
Han tells Leia running into a bounty hunter on this planet changed his mind about staying with the Rebellion.
Pass.
She sings Laptinek.
Size noodles.
These porcine workers can be seen maintaining Cloud City's carbon freezing chamber. Those little guys are Ugnaughts. All right, Dan, let's hear the Mike report.
Absolutely. Mike had a great round. He just has a few passes to go over. The Sarlacc that Boba Fett fell into lived in the Great Pit of Carcoon. Ithorians are often referred to as hammerheads, which seems a little bit racist. And Han tells Leia that running a bounty hunter on Ord Mantell changed his mind about staying with the Rebellion. Mike got 7 correct answers, now his total of 140 points, and he has the lead. Simone currently has 80 points, so she'll need to get 6 questions correct in order to tie, and 7 in order to pull into first.
All right, Simone, three categories left on the board. They are settle the conflict, clue to Luke's whereabouts, and they don't crawl.
I'm so curious to find out what they don't crawl is actually about.
Do you have a crazy guess?
I'm just thinking of sand crawlers, so something spinning off of that.
Well, in this case, we're actually going to be talking about Star Wars properties that don't have opening crawls. So we're talking about Star Wars television shows and Star Wars anthology story movies.
Gotcha.
90 seconds on the clock. Simone, are you ready?
I am.
Despite being credited as playing himself on Rebels, the astromech Chopper was voiced by this executive producer.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Dave Filoni. This Wookiee tradition is at the center of the Star Wars holiday special.
Life Day.
This creator of Dexter's Laboratory developed 2003's Clone Wars cartoon.
Pass.
In Solo, L3 ignites a droid revolt on this Pike Syndicate-controlled planet.
Such a great performance, too. Pass.
The short-lived Jedi Temple Challenge game show was hosted by this Jar Jar Binks actor.
Ahmed Best.
Tatooine Rhapsody and The Ninth Jedi are episodes of this anime series.
Pass.
He is the leader of Clone Force 99, aka the Bad Batch.
Oh, it would have helped to have watched the cartoons. Pass.
This type of ship pushes one Star Destroyer into another during the Battle of Scarif.
Pass.
This Giancarlo Esposito character's name makes it sound like he's found in a hotel nightstand.
Moff Gideon.
This Doctor Who actor won an Emmy for voicing a droid professor on The Clone Wars.
Ooh, gotta guess Matt Smith?
David Tennant. On The Book of Boba Fett, former torture droid 8D8 is voiced by this Toast of London actor.
Matt Berry.
Correct, but after the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Simone report.
Absolutely. Yeah, watching the cartoons probably would have been helpful for some of these ones. The 2003 Clone Wars cartoon, which is the best use of Mace Windu in anywhere in the series, was developed by Genndy Tartakovsky, also of Dexter's Laboratory.
And the Hotel Transylvania films. Always have to mention that.
No, we really don't, Taylor. We can ignore that, and we can talk about Samurai Jack instead, and we'll be happier that way. In Solo, of course, they're on Kessel, right? Because they had to make the Kessel run, see? Because they had to make everything mean something. Tatooine Rhapsody and the Ninth Jedi are episodes of Star Wars Visions. The leader of Clone Force 99 is Hunter. And once again, one of our players had to pass on a question where the answer is Hammerhead. It's a Hammerhead Corvette that pushes one Star Destroyer into another. Simone got three questions correct. She has 110 points. Unfortunately, that is not enough to put her into the lead. So now it's up to Andy. He's currently got 80 points. He'll need to get six questions correct in order to tie and seven in order to take the win.
All right, Andy, tall order on the board. Your final two category choices are settle the conflict and clue to Luke's whereabouts.
I don't know if I can forgive you for leaving me with the sequel and prequel trilogies, but just based on knowledge, I'm going to have to go with Settle the Conflict.
Thinking which trilogy is this going to lead you towards?
Prequel.
Absolutely. Grab bag trivia about the Star Wars prequel trilogy. 90 seconds on the clock. Andy, are you ready?
Yes.
An amethyst plasma blade set this Jedi apart from other members of the Council.
Mace Windu.
This actor played Jango Fett and went on to play his clone slash son.
Temuera Morrison.
Episode 2 was shot on the same soundstage as this 2001 Ewan McGregor musical.
Pass.
This Love Actually star was cast because of her resemblance to Natalie Portman.
Keira Knightley.
The top secret order identifying all Jedi as traitors to the Galactic Republic is known by this number.
66.
This Senate representative proposed a successful vote to grant emergency powers to Palpatine.
Jar Jar?
This Toydarian junk dealer sponsored Anakin Skywalker in several pod races.
Watto.
An Easter egg in episode 2 featuring Fiona Johnson links the film to this franchise.
Pass.
This Superman 2 actor declined to reprise his role of Chancellor Valorum in episode 2.
It's Terrence Stamp.
The Kalish warlord born Quemanjai Shialal is better known by this name.
No clue. Pass.
In an homage to Lucas, LEDs on the back of the clone trooper helmets display this number.
1138.
In addition to playing Darth Maul, this martial artist was Toad in the first X-Men movie.
Park?
This... Well done, Andy. All right, Dan, let's hear the Andy report and the final scores.
Absolutely. So just a couple of passes to go over here. Episode 2 was shot on the same soundstage as Moulin Rouge, which is rather different for a Ewan McGregor performance. This is one of my favorite facts here. There's an Easter egg in episode 2 where Fiona Johnson is wearing a red dress, and that's actually reprising her role from The Matrix. So it's an Easter egg that ties into The Matrix movies, and I think it actually also means it's all happening inside the head of an autistic boy. And finally, the Kalish warlord, whose name I'm not going to try and pronounce, is actually better known as General Grievous. Andy got 8 correct answers. That means our final scores are Simone 110, Mike 140, and our winner with 160 points, it's Andy!
Andy!
Hey, Andy! Way to go.
Congratulations, Andy, and thanks again to Mike and Simone for joining us for today's Star Wars special. If you want more of Simone, check out the Black Mass Appeal podcast for all your info on modern-day Satanism and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Plus, she's on Twitter at Simone Lasher. Fantastic game from all of our players, and all of those plugs can be found in the show notes. Stay tuned, listeners, for when we re-release this episode in a few years with a bunch of computer-generated images that you didn't ask for. And then a few years after that, watch out for when we release it again with a random sound drop of Dan Cassino saying, McClunky. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for the beginning of Season 7 with the first matchup in our Chronic Town division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thanks again for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. You mean 60 portions?